Continuing here on the topic of Iser Neder and Iser Shvua, based on the Sugya Daf Beis Amid Beis in Nedarim.
Maybe it would be a good idea to discuss something else today because no one's here. So you can continue this Shvur Shem Sunday when everyone else is here.
Ah, I see what you're saying. Well, you know, I prepared whatever I prepared, and we'll see.
Give you a suggestion.
We'll see where it goes. Yeah. Let's just review quickly. There are chumras in both directions. There's chumra in neder, and a neder we said is chal on a dvar mitzvah. So if I take a neder that I won't sit in this sukkah, that this sukkah is asur alai kikono, then I cannot fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah by sitting in that sukkah because of the neder which enjoins me from sitting in the sukkah. Shvuah on the other hand, if I take a shvuah that I won't sit in the sukkah, then ein shvuah chal al shvuah. I was already mushpa v'yomid me'ar Sinai. I already took a shvuah at Ar Sinai that I would sit in the sukkah, so the shvuah cannot undermine that shvuah that I took at Har Sinai. So that's the chumra in neder vis-a-vis shvuah. In the opposite direction, we have a chumra in shvuah vis-a-vis neder, that a shvuah is chal even on a davar shein bo mamish, which we said was a maisa. So I could say I won't sleep, I could take a shvuah, I won't walk, this, that, and the other thing. Whereas in neder, I have to take the neder on an object, on a chefetz, and I can't say, well, neder that I won't sleep. There is no such thing as neder that I won't sleep. What I do have is neder pi, I can take a konim on my mouth that my mouth won't speak. I can take a konim on my yad that my yad won't operate in a certain way or my regal won't walk in a certain way. Then it's already an iser chefta. Then we wanted to know what would happen if there was a conflict between a neder and a shvur, which would win out. So let's say, for example, a person took a shvur that he would eat a certain loaf of bread, we called it a kikar lechem. And then he took a neder on that kikar, kikar zeh asra olai bekonam. In such a case, the neder beats out the shvur. Why? Because the neder is chal on the object, and now I can no longer eat this kikar. I'm enjoined from eating the kikar by virtue of my neder. And the shvur cannot come to override the neder. What about in the flip case? Let's say, for example, he would take a shvua. Let me give you an example. Let's say he takes a shvua that
takes a neder.
Wait, just give me 1 minute, Herb, so I get my head screwed on in the right way. Okay. So the first case that we said was that he took a shvua that he would eat a kikar. And then he took a neder that he will not eat the kikar. So then we said the neder overrides the shvuah, and he cannot eat the kikar. Okay. Now, what's the case I want to give you? Oh, let's say, just give me a second here. Osar al atzmo kikar b'kon v'akach nishpa sheyochlenu. Okay, so that we said the neder overrides the shvua, even though he took a shvua that he would eat the kikar, but he took a neder that he won't eat the kikar. And then what happens in the case in nishba shelo yochlena? He took a shvua that he won't eat a certain kikar, so he enjoined himself with the shvua not to eat this kikar. And then what happens if he took a neder that this kikar is asur olav b'neder? So now he has a shvua that enjoins him from eating the kikar, and he has a neder that enjoins him from eating the kikar. In such a case, if he eats the kikar, did he violate both a shvua and a neder? Or do we say no, that the shvua really just repeats the neder? And therefore, ein iser chal al iser, meaning once the cheft is already asur, then the shvuah can't be chal. And the Rishonim say that it doesn't matter in what sequence. Either he took the shvuah first that he won't eat this kikar, or he took the neder first that the kikar is also a neder. In both cases, the shvuah is not valid, and he's not in violation of the shvuah if he eats the kikar. Why? Because the shvua cannot be, the shvua doesn't add anything. The neder adds something. It adds an isur chefta that didn't exist, but the shvua didn't add anything. Okay. Herb, you wanted to say something before? I'm sorry. No, if not, I just want to talk to you about nazirus. That's the real question here. Yeah. So let's talk a little about nazirus. If you remember the structure of the Mishnah that you have on the beginning of your page, nazirus comes at the end of the Mishnah. That would sound like what?
Cherem.
No. It says neder and then cherem, then it says shvua and then nazirus. So it sounds like nazirus belongs to what?
Sure.
To shvua. Well, that would make it an iser gavra. And this is the real question. With regard to yayin, what's the status of the yayin vis-a-vis the nazir? Obviously, the nazir is not allowed to drink wine, but is that an iser gavra that he's, it's like he took a shvur that he won't eat wine, or does the wine become an iser chefta, chefta di surah? And it seems that this is a major debate.
But b'chol ha'olam, so it's really gavra from that point of view.
Right. So is it that the Torah is saying that the gavra is not allowed to drink wine because he's a nazir? Or are we saying that no, that the Torah says all the wine in the world is a chefza disura, just like all the nevela in the world is a chefza disura, right? All the basar tame is a chefza disura, all the wine in the world is a chefza disura.
It's only a sura to the nazir.
Only to the Nazir. But as far as the Nazir is concerned, because Nazir is aflas peh, what he accepted upon himself is that all the wine in the world is usr olav bin neder. What's the nafkamina between the two? The question is, what if there's a mitzvah to drink the wine? So we said, herein lies the difference between a shvua and a neder. I have a mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah. If I took a shvua that I won't sit in the sukkah, that shvua is nullified, is completely null and void, because mushba v'yomei mar sina. But if on the other hand I take a neder and I ask the sukkah on myself, but neder, then I'm not allowed to sit in the sukkah despite the mitzvah because of the neder. So the neder is chalavatel sam mitzvah. So what would be in a case of a nazir vis-a-vis yayin shel mitzvah? Now, yayin shel mitzvah is not an easy... it's not an easy case in and of itself, but Rashi Shita is in Masechta Nazir that Yayin Shel Kiddush is a mitzvah d'oraisa. All the Rishonim disagree with him, but let's go with Rashi Shita. Now he takes a Kabbalas Nazirus. He has a Kabbalas Nazirus. He's not allowed to drink wine. What about wine shel mitzvah? And it depends. If I view Nazirus as what? As a shvua, is then the shvur cannot be chal on yayin shel mitzvah because he's mushba v'yomei mar sinai to drink yayin shel mitzvah. If on the other hand the zirus vis-a-vis yayin is an iser neder, it's in the chefta of the yayin, so then halacha is I'm mitzuva to drink wine but not wine that's also to me, and that's the principle that a neder is mevatel of mitzvah. So before we get into that, I have for you printed a tshuva of the Avnei Nezer. Did you get that? Again, if you have the pages, it should be on page 3. Good? Is that good? Okay. Now, in this tshuva, the Avnei Nezer, the Sokhet Shavu Rebbe, he wants to analyze the question of when a certain foodstuff became usur with regard to Yom Kippur. What would be your, you know, just without thinking, your knee-jerk response? When does the food become usur? On Yom Kippur, no? Not today, right? The day starts. And this is what he wants to be mechadesh, that it could very well be that already now the food is usur. For Yom Kippur. Now already it's usur. He gives the example of chametz. Let's say, for example, the whole year round, chametz is mutter. It only becomes usur on Pesach. Now I cook in a pot, and I cook chametz in a pot. The chametz is now balua in the walls of the pot. The question is, what's the status of that blia? There are two categories in halacha of blia. One category is called Isura Bola, and the other is called Hetera Bola. So hetera bala means that what I cooked in the pot was mutter, and only later it became asur. Like, let's say, for example, if you had maaser sheni in Yerushalayim, that's heter, and I cook in a pot, and now the maaser sheni is balua in the pot, then I leave Yerushalayim, and now the pot has a blia of maaser sheni chutz liYerushalayim. That's called hetera bala. At the time that the blia took place, it was heter. And in such a case, there are many kulas if he went ahead and he cooked in the pot. That's called hetera bala. And that's based on what the Rashba says. The logic is that a tam kolish cannot become osur. A tam balua is called a tam kolish. It's a weaker tam, and it can never become osur. So what happens in the case of kolish?
Does balua mean to absorb?
Balua means absorbed in the walls of the pot, right? So now you have a pot that's absorbed with chametz. At this point, the chametz is heter because I'm allowed to eat chametz. Later on Pesach, that blia will turn into an iser on Pesach. That becomes l'chora tam kolish, and a tam kolish can never become awesome. It's a weaker tam. It's not the real chametz. Now, if I have a mashu of chametz that falls into a pot, that's something else. But here, I only cooked in a chametz stick of pot. So, if you take a look on line 4 in this first paragraph, the first large paragraph, number Aleph. He says, in the name of the Ramban, that chametz is called isura bala. That's a chiddush of the Ramban. Why? The bePesach chametz asur. Now you might say, wait a minute. If on the shem chametz is chal on Pesach, that's when it's an entity of chametz. Halachically, al pidin, it doesn't have the status of chametz the whole year round. It's heter. He says, no, kvar chal. Kvar hoya olav shem chametz kodem shenechlash tamo. So if he cooks on Tu B'Shvat, the tam bolua is already chametz on Tu B'Shvat, anticipating what's going to happen on Pesach. And he wants to apply the same logic to Yom HaKippurim, which means that today I can have something that's usher on Yom Kippur. And why is he so fascinated with this topic? He wanted to know whether or not the principle of Ein Iser Chal Al Iser would apply with regard to Yom Kippur. Let's say I have something that's Osur. I'll give you an example. Let's say Yayin Shel Orla is Osur the whole year round. Now it becomes Yom Kippur. So if he eats the yayin, if he drinks the yayin shel arla, does he violate Yom Kippur as well? So the Shoel, who asked this question and addressed this question to the Sokachov, wanted to say, Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. Yesterday was also an Erev Yom Kippur mitam arla. On Yom Kippur, you want to add another Iser and say it's also also mishum Yom Kippur. He says, no, Ein Iser Chal Al Iser. So the Sokachov disagrees with this. And he says, when do you say Ein Iser Chal Al Iser? When the Shem Iser of the second Iser is Chal, secondly, subsequent to the first Shem Iser. So the second Iser is not Chal in the first Iser. But in the case of Yom Kippur, the food was also the whole year round for Yom Kippur. In the same way the Ramban says that Chametz is also the whole year round for Pesach, so therefore it's called Isura Bola. So when today I cook my Chametz in the pot, the Bliya is a Bliya's Isur, even though now I'm allowed to eat Chametz. Right, it's the third day. What is it? The second day of Cheshvan.
Yeah,
right. I'm allowed to eat chametz. No, that's called Isura Bol. And therefore, Hachinami, he says on the fifth line, Liyom HaKippurim Tchila Asur Haya. From the beginning, from the get go, it was already Asur. Now, again, going back to the Shoel who addressed the Sakachava, he wanted to say that, let's say, for example, you have yayin, and then it becomes chometz. What happens is, if you don't take very special care of the wine, it starts fermenting. Now, chometz gets a different bracha than yayin. So the question is, can I get away now with the bracha on chometz and replace the bracha on yayin? So the Shoel wanted to suggest that, since the bracha was chal on this object when it was yayin, then you cannot remove that iser. Let me explain. A bracha is not just a mitzvah, it's also an iser. Why is a Birchas Hanenim an Isur? Who remembers the famous statement of the Gemara? No, you don't remember it? Kol Hanenim and Olam Hazeh Lo Bracha Keilu Mal. He's violating Me'ilah. Because everything is Hegdesh until you make the Bracha. Lashem Aretz Umuloa. The Gemara says, the beginning of Ketzad Mevorch. So he suggests that if there's a need to make that bracha, and that need is inherent in the food, and it's a chefta disura because of me'ilah without the bracha, therefore he says you cannot remove that isur with a different bracha, even when it comes chometz. So that's what he says the following. He says, the ayin shekvod torasso bikesh lomar legabe Rambam, blah blah blah, and he says that. Let me see if I can find the right line here. At the very beginning of paragraph Aleph, he says lechalek bein chometz liyoma kippurim and chometz lebracha. In other words, the status of this fermented wine, which we call chometz, changes with regard to A, Yom Kippur, and B, bracha. Why? Because when you're talking about Yom HaKippurim, it was already chometz before Yom HaKippurim. So the fact that it was yayin at some point is irrelevant. So therefore it comes out that if somebody drinks chometz on Yom HaKippurim, according to the Shita, he doesn't violate Yom Kippur. Why? Because it already had the status of chometz before Yom Kippur, and ein iser chal al iser. That's what he said at the end of the second line, v'lo chal olav iser Yom HaKippurim. Masha ein ken chiyuv bracha, let's say for example it was wine and now it became chometz, is chal olav biyoso yayin. So in other words, he's basically differentiating between a bracha which is an Iser Chefta, and Yom HaKippurim is an Iser Gavra. That's what he writes towards the end of this paragraph. V'kasav v'michtavo, and you wrote that, he's speaking to him in third person, as if to say, he wrote to me in his letter, which means you wrote to me in the letter you sent me, the shiny Yom HaKippurim the Iser Gavrahu, that Yom Kippur is an Iser Gavra, and therefore the Iser is not Chal until Yom Kippur itself. Mashenke bracha to mishum me'ila nagubo hu iser chefta ad kan dvarav. Now he goes on to say that there's no proof that Yom HaKippurim is an iser gavra. You quoted a Gemara in Krisus, and he says, Hine mashikasa bi gemara bi krisus lo reisi misham shum ochacha. I didn't find any raya from the gemara in krisus that Yom Kippur is an iser gavra. He says shom nemar di Yom HaKippur rakolel, etc., etc. So basically, he wants to say that Yom HaKippur could be an iser chefta. And if it's an Iser Chefta, then even its original state, way before Yom Kippur, in anticipation of Yom Kippur, the Iser is already Chal in the Chefta. Just like you said, the Bracha is Chal in the Chefta, the Yayin, and therefore you have to make a Bar Priya Gofen, even though now it became Chometz, so too, the Iser of Yom Kippur is Chal from the get-go, even before Yom Kippur, because you're not allowed to eat it on Yom Kippur, and therefore it becomes an Iser Chefta. And now, in paragraph number Gimel, he quotes a Ritva in Shmuas, Re'isi dechol Isurei Torah Isurei Gavra Hema. The Ritva says that all Isurim are Isurei Gavra. If the Ritva would have said that Yom HaKippurim is an Isur Gavra, he says that I can tolerate, that I can possibly justify. But L'chori Yipola Lomar Al Nevelo Shkotzim Remosim She'enam Isur Chefta? Can you say that the Isur to eat Nevelo is only an Iser Gavra, but not an Iser Chefta? He says, that I don't understand. How can the Ritva possibly maintain that all Isurim in the Torah are Isurei Gavra, not Isurei Chefta?
Use what we said yesterday, it's very easy. As we said yesterday, even though something is an Iser Chefta, it also comes into an Iser Gavra.
Excellent. So when do you say something is an Issa Hefta? When do you say it's an Issa Gavra? For example, in Neder. Neder is going to be your paradigm of an Issa Hefta, correct? But Lechora and Neder is also an Issa Gavra. Sure. So if the Ritva is saying that all Issurim are in the Gavra, why not say that even as far as Neder is concerned? The Ritva has to be Moda, that at least Chach in Neder, Neder is an Issa Hefta.
If there's a piece of treif meat, is that Iser on the chefs of meat, or is it Iser?
I would have said that's, and that's what the Sokhachov says, that it's an Iser on the chefs. The chefs is repulsive in and of itself. It's disgusting. It's tummy. But the Ritva claims that all Iserim in the Torah, Shkatzim, Vermatzim, the Vela, treif for everything else, is an Iser Gavra. It's not an Iser Chefta. So the Sokhachov wants to understand. He wants to get into the mindset of the Ritva. How could the Ritva possibly entertain this possibility that every Iser is an Iser Gavra and not an Iser Hefza? I'd like to strengthen, I think, his argument. He doesn't mention a Gemara in Chulin on Daf Vav Amin Aleph. The Gemara in Chulin speaks about the Chamor of Pinchas Ben Yair. And the Gemara says that the Chamor of Pinchas Ben Yair would never eat a chefta di sura, like the case there was dmai. You know, dmai is a suffix, whether they were mafresh shuvas or maisus, they weren't. And the Gemara says that even the chamar of Pinchas ben Yair would never be suspect of eating a chefta di sura. And the Gemara goes on to say that machol sasurus mitam tamos es halev, that if you eat treifus, it has an impact on your heart. I mean, all that seemed to indicate that nevelus and treifus is an isa chefta.
No.
So why does the Ritva say that all Isurim are an Issa Hefta? Are an Issa Gavra, I meant to say.
Because there's no inyan of an Issa until you eat it. You have a piece of treif meat here. There's nothing wrong with the meat.
Why is there nothing wrong with the meat? Well, it's tummy, no?
It's tummy, so what?
So you can't eat it.
It's a Gavra.
Again, nobody's denying, Herb, that every Iser is on the Gavra. As I said last time, the Chefta doesn't speak to itself.
Yeah.
You know, we've never found a schizophrenic Chefta, you know what I mean? That talks to itself.
So that's what
every Iser is on the Gavra, but where does it emanate from? Does it start from the Gavra, or does it start from the Chefta? Clearly, Nevela starts from the Chefta. Obviously, it's an Iser Gavra. The Ran points out that even Neder is an Iser Gavra, right? But where does it start from? It's inherent in the Chefta, because I said, Kikar Zuke Hegdesh.
But it's not what the Ritva feels.
Well, so the Sokhachov has a very fascinating insight into this Ritva. That's why I really wanted to take this, call this tshuva to your attention. Hanira li bi'enai, ki iser gavra, nemar al maisa asher pogem b'mailas ha'odam. Now, Rabbo said, at this point it sounds like metaphysics, and if Sam was here, he would start objecting. But I think there's a lot of depth and a lot of truth to what he's saying. I mean, he doesn't need my askava, the Sokhachov, but I'm just saying, it rings a bell of truth. It rings the ring of truth. He's saying that what's an Issa Gavra? An Issa Gavra means that you are on a certain level, and you're not allowed to desecrate that level. You know, you can't be pogam in that level, that milo of an Adam. And therefore, in the case of Shkatzim v'Ramasim, according to the Ritva, this is an Issa Gavra. Why? Because what we're saying is that if you as a Jew, let's say, eat Shkatzim v'Ramasim, then you're being pogam in your milo. And the Torah in the parsha of Teshaktu of Shkatzim says, "V'anshei kodesh tiyuli." You have to be holy, a holy nation. So a holy nation means that you will desecrate that holiness if you partake of a sheketz. And therefore, if imailas Yisrael ein nevelos utreifus reuim lahem, then the emphasis is on the word lahem, not on the treifa, but on the lahem. In other words, the antithetical antinomia, the antithetical relationship here, or the, you know, when I say antithetical, it sounds like Hegel. You know, Hegel spoke about thesis and antithesis. So what's antithetical means that there's a clash here between a Jew, a Jewish soul, and a Nevela. And that clash is because of the fact that by partaking of this Nevela, heaven forbid, he blows his soul. He blemishes his soul. That's what the Ritva calls an Issa Gavra. Aval nenemi hegdesh. Now let's get the definition of an Iser Chefta. That's already in the case of hegdesh or zar she'ochal truma. There it's lehepach. What's the problem? It's not that if the Tsar eats truma, he has in some way soiled his nefesh, but rather the opposite is true. Shemiskarev el hadavar shula maila bimadrigasa. That in this case, the Hegdesh is on too high of a level for him. And therefore, if he partakes of this Hegdesh or this Truma, and he's a Tsar, he's not a Kohen, he violates and desecrates the Kedusha of the object. So then it's an Isu Cheftza. Ki Eich Yaku Yikarev Tsar El Truma. A non-Kohen is going to come close to Truma. The Hejot, the non-Kohen, El Kodshe Shamayim. Ze Isu Cheftza. Shepogem Bacheftza. Not that he's pogeim b'mailas ha'adam, but rather that he's pogeim b'cheftza. Oh, so now you'll ask, what about neder? The Gemara says explicitly that neder is an isur cheftza. How's the mitzvah going to understand that? And the answer is, he says, al ken konam. The way the Ritva is going to have to understand the mechanics of neder is the matfis b'karbon. When he says konam kikar zel lie, what is the word konam? Konam, we said, is a kinu for a karbon. And he's saying that this neder now creates a quasi karbon. Now, what do I mean a quasi karbon? Is it going to be brought on the mizbeach? No. What therefore gives it the status of karbon through the process of hatfasa? Hatfasa meaning I say that this loaf of bread should be like the shteil lechem that's brought on Shavuos. It doesn't mean it has the status of hegdish. I'm not being magdish this piece of bread, but what it means is that it's like a karbon, and that's what the Torah gave me the ability to create a quasi kodesh status, a karbon status, to an object that's totally chulin. And therefore, he says we can understand the Gemara in the dark. On Daf Lamed Hey, the Gemara says, Yesh Me'ila Bekonomos, that the Isur Me'ila applies if somebody benefits from an object that he prohibited upon himself with a konom. If he said, Konom Kikar Zel Lai, and then he went ahead and he ate the Kikar, then he's Chayv Me'ila. Do you know what that means, Rabosai? That when the Beis HaMikdash is built, he's going to have to bring a Karbon Me'ilah. If you say your Karbonus in the morning, that's at the end there of the Mishnayis and Zvachim. And Karile, therefore, Isa Cheftza. Amal Shvua, Ein Shum Kedusha Nitfas Pachefetz. If you take a Shvua that you won't eat this, there's no special sanctity and there's no Me'ilah in the object itself, in the Kikar Lechem that he promises he'll eat. Is therefore it's called an Isur Gavra. I think this is a brilliant insight into the Ritva. And it changes our whole perspective. You know, we always thought that when we see Nevela and Treifah Shkotz Ramos, we're talking about an Isur Chefza, and there's an object here that's absolutely repulsive and it's contaminated. And the Torah says, you know, stay away from this object. No. It's not stay away from the object because the object is despicable. It's stay away from this object because of the impact it's going to have on your nefesh. It flings back. When do we have an Isur Cheftza? When it's Kedusha, when it's Karbon, or a neder that's like a Karbon through Hatfasa. Ubevadai lefi zeh. Now ask yourself the following question. On Yom Kippur, is the food Asur? Is it Kedusha? Is it Hegdish? Is it Karbon? Is it Neder? Is it a Cheftza Nisura? Or is it Din of the Gavra? Clearly it's a Din of the Gavra. He says, on Yom HaKippurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us on a certain level, and because of that level, we're not allowed to eat. Eating would be Pogea in that Kedusha Sagavra on Yom HaKippurim. That's called an Isa Gavra. No, if that be the case, then ask yourself the question of the Shoel who addressed this letter to the Sokachov. And then in the case of Yom HaKippurim, that Isur Gavra only emerges on Yom Kippur itself. And therefore before that, there was no Isur. And therefore we should say that when the Isur of Yom Kippur evolves, it's Ein Isur Chalal Isur. This Arla, let's say for example, was already Asur to him. So he writes, "Ubikomakom shayach lomar de iser shechal lo poka." which is again a very way out concept, if you, to say the least, that now, because on Yom Kippur I'm going to be on such a level that I can't eat, now already it's also. You know, what do you mean it's also? It's not going to be also until that time period. So he's sort of oblivious to the time element here, and he's saying like every day of the year, no matter where you're up to, it could be Tu Bishvat, you're already sensing that there's going to be an Issa Gavra at some point during the year, during the calendar year, that you are on a high level and you can't be pogam in that Mila of Yom HaKippur. That's what I wanted to get out of this sukkah. So now Rabosai, if I were to go back to Nazirus according to the Sukkot Shava, is that an Issa Gavra or an Issa Cheftza? Clearly it's an Issa Gavra, because there's nothing holy about the wine. The wine is the same wine that you and I could drink, but the Nazir can't drink that wine. What's wrong with the wine? The answer is, there's nothing wrong with the wine. The wine doesn't have any special Kedusha to it. It's you have Kedusha, but Kedusha has Nazir. His Mimela Nazir would be a classical case of an Issa Gavra, correct?
But when he drinks it, it's Bokeh in him.
That makes it into an Issa Gavra. But it's there's nothing inherent in the Yayin, right? There's nothing that the Yayin is also per se.
You just said it's an Issa Gavra.
I meant to say Issa Gavra, I'm sorry. If I said Cheftza, I'm sorry, I stay corrected. You know, when I give a shir and there are two terms, inevitably I mix them up. So you have to hold cup with me and correct me. You know,
so it's like Issa Gavra because it's Bokeh.
Correct. It's got to be that the Nazir, like every Jew on Yom Kippur, is on a very high level. And Machmas Kedushas HaNazir, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, the Ibn Ezra is famous for saying that the word Nazir itself semantically comes from Nazir al Rosha. It's because he has a certain halo on his head, so to speak, a crown on his head. That's clearly an Issa Gavra. Comes with the Ritva and says every Jew has a crown on his head, which enjoins him from eating Shkotzim v'Ramasim. Because Anshei Kodesh Tiyudli. So it's the Kedushas HaGavra that engenders this Issa. That makes it an Issa Gavra. Fascinating. It comes out, Rabosai, a gevaldige chiddush according to the Ritva, Loch Lemaisa. Let's say I have a loaf of bread in front of me, correct? And on the left side, I have, let's say, a bread that's Arla.
What's Arla?
Arla means the first 3 years of the tree. So, you know, actually, Arla is really only Paris Elam, so maybe, bread would not be a good example. So he's got Yayin in front of him. Yayin Shel Heter. And here he has Yayin Shel Arla. And he's Machmas. And he says, Arei Zeh Kozeh. With the Neder Michal, according to the Ritva. No. Because Hatfos is only in an Issa Cheftza. I can only be Machmas in a Cheftza. So if I have a Neder and something that I want to ask in a Neder, or if I have Hegdesh and I want to ask this like Hegdesh, that I can do because I can take the Issa and the Cheft and transmute it to a Cheft to that Terah. But according to the Ritva, if I have in front of me Nevelis Treif for Shkotzim Ramasim, I can't use that for Hatfasa because that's not an Issa Chefta. Hatfasa means to take the Issa from one Chefetz and transmute it onto the other Chefetz. But according to the Ritva, Novelis and Treif for Shkotzim Ramasim is only an Issa Gavra. And an Issa Gavra, there's no Hatfasa. It's pretty way out. And that's the chiddush of the Ritva. Now, with regard to Zirus, I found something interesting here in the name of the Ritva. And he says the following in the name of the Ritva. I didn't get a chance to check this out. If the Ritva says it, it's the Ritva at the end of the first parak of Nedarim. And he says, HaNezirus hu hi iser cheftza ki Nedarim. Now, this is counterintuitive for two reasons. First of all, because intuitively, Nazirus is not an Issa Cheftza at all. It's an Issa Gavra. And it's counterintuitive for a second reason, because the Ritva himself is the one who says that all Issurei Torah are Issurei Gavra. So what does he mean when he says, HaNazirus hi Issa Cheftza ki Nedarim? And therefore he says that Nazirus is, just 1 second, umizeh atam Nizirus chala al yayin shel mitzvah. Watch what's going on here. I have yayin that's designated for the mitzvah of kiddush. If I take a shvua that I won't drink this wine, is the shvua valid? It's not valid, because a shvua, we say mushba v'yobim arsina. You can't take a shvua against what the Torah commands you. Right? But if I would aser this yayin b'neder, then I can't drink the wine, correct? Even though there's a mitzvah to drink this wine, it's Leil Shabbos, and I have mitzvah Zochris Yom Shabbos the Kach. So Rashi holds that yayin is doraisa in this case. But the answer is the mitzvah doraisa can't obligate me to violate any sechefta, because neder is chal levatel as a mitzvah. What's going to be the deal now, according to the Ritva, in the case of yayin shel mitzvah, the nazir? Will the nazir drink that wine or not? Says the Ritva, he won't drink that wine. Now, wait a second. What do you mean he won't drink that wine? If nazir is an isa gavra, then for sure he has to drink the wine, because his shvua and isa gavra cannot undermine the law of the Torah. And he's mushba v'yomim arsina and shvua chal shvua. Comes on the Ritva, and he says, Nazirus chalal yayin shel mitzvah, lefisha yayin nesar olav b'isa chefta. That's mamash apela. And I don't understand how the Sukkachover is going to explain this Ritva, because the Sukkachover said that the whole concept of Isurim in the Torah, according to the Ritva, is because of the Gavra, not because of the Chefta. Because when I eat this Chefta, I'm on such a high level, it's po game in my mile. David?
Well, isn't it true that the Nazir not drinking wine is also a Torah commandment, with the Torah negative commandment? So we have a positive commandment to drink the wine. The Torah says also the Nazir can't drink wine. So you have a clash of a positive and negative commandment regarding the Nazir.
Correct. So you and I might have said that maybe Esei Dochalosa said because of the positive command. Oh, no. I'm just the opposite. Yeah. Because of the positive command to drink the wine, again, we're holding now that this is Yayin Shel Mitzvah, we override the Iser Lav of Yayin L'Nazir, Chartzanim Lo Yoylo, whatever it says over there in the Pasuk, right? In Parshas Nosa. But the answer is that Nazirus, as an essay, doesn't have the power to override a Lo Sasser. And why is that? Because of Mushba V'Yomi Mar Sina. You know, you can't take a Shvua to override the Torah law. Comes on the Ritvas, and he says that in this case, the Nazir would not be allowed to drink the wine. Wait a second, I don't get it. If I took a shvur not to drink this wine, and the Torah commands me to drink this wine, then I have to drink the wine. So the Ritva says, no, I can't drink the wine because the wine is aser b'isa chefta. Why is the wine aser b'isa chefta? There's nothing. There's no kedusha in the chefta. What is it Nazir saying? That all the ayin on the face of the earth are hegdesh, are kodesh, like a karban? That's not what he said. He said that he himself is a Nazir. Tell it to me that he doesn't make any comment about this. But here, he quotes the Mari Besson. The Mari Besson lives about 6 centuries ago. And he says that why is Nazir an Iser Chefta? He says, the Chefta of the Iser is not the Yayin, but rather Piv Lishtos Yayin, Saro Liteglachas, Yodov Linegia Bemes, Raglov Likones Liolames. This is already beyond my comprehension, that he's ossering his pair. And therefore the pear becomes a chefza d'isura. So if he drinks the wine, then the pear itself becomes, so to speak, contaminated. Just one second, I'm trying to digest this. Give me a minute, Daniel, then the floor is yours. I just want to see if I can hot desirai in my head. He's saying that why is Nazirus and Isa Chefza? Because the Chefza is his mouth. He's enjoining his mouth from drinking wine. So if the Chefza itself is, so that's like the mission of P, of Konam P mi Dibur. So what is the, let's go back to the mission itself. So what's Konam P mi Ledaber? That my mouth becomes a Chefza di Isura vis-a-vis the act of. That's not called the Dover Shem Bo Mamish, because again, Shvu is Chal on the Dover Shem Mamish when he says Shvu that I won't speak. Now he takes a neder on a Dover Shem Bo Mamish on speech. How does that work? The answer is it works when he says Konam Pi Mi Dibur Mi Ledaber, because then the Peh itself becomes a Cheftza Di Isura, and it's not like Dibur itself. So Dibur itself is a Dover Shem Bo Mamish. You can't take a neder on Dibur. You can only take a Shvu on Dibur. But if you say Pi Mi Ledaber, then the Peh itself becomes the Chefza Di Isura. I'm just not understanding.
So there's Ein L'Dover Shof. So you can do that about anything.
What do you mean? I lost you on that.
In other words, if he's Pi Mi Ledaber,
yeah,
because the mouth is used to speak.
Right.
So if he's saying Pi the Medaber, it's a way of saying that, but if you want to say...
Say the Cheftz of the Peh is also... Yeah, it's
if you want to say in this case that it's a Cheftz, so anything becomes that way. So any time...
Well, that's what he says. If he says, I won't speak, then the subject is...
Well, that's not what I mean. Any Cheftz of so Isser, he can turn into a nether. By saying,
well, no. If the Torah is saying, don't eat shkots and verubosim, correct?
Right.
So that says the Ritva is an isugav, that you're not allowed to engage in the maisa achila. That's the isur. But if the Torah would say that your mouth is asur from eating an avela or a trefa, that would make it into an isur chefta. And that's, he says, what happens with the Nazir. The Nazir is saying, my mouth is enjoined from drinking yain. That makes it into an Isur Chefza. And again, it's a tremendous nafkamina, because now he's not allowed to use that wine for Kiddush. Even though if it was only an Isur Gavra, he would be able to use the wine for Kiddush. Daniel?
No,
so again,
he'll try to differentiate between the mind and the limbs, basically. You become a schizophrenic in this. The mind's got this gavra, but you're using your hand or your mouth to make the chefza.
Exactly.
But again, you have to give credit to Marie Besson for one point. He's not inventing this institution that Dibur could be defined in one of two ways. The halach itself, the mission itself, recognizes that Dibur could either be an Isa Gavra and a Dover Shem Bo Mamish, which is only subject to Shvu and not to Neder, or Dibur could become an Isa Chefta. Well, depends how he formulates the Isa when he says Pi Mi Ledaber.
A Gavra is a physical person, a physical thing. The Peh is part of the Gavra. It's not. It's like a subset of the Gavra is his mouth.
Right, but the Gavra is the abstract personality. Right, the abstract personality. That's the Mailas Ha'odah. That's the what the Sakat, the Nefesh Ha'odah. The physical parts of his body are no less objects than any other. And again, I don't want to blame the Mari Besson for this. He's not at fault. The Mishnah itself says that you can take Shena, or you can take Alicha, or you can take Shtia, and make it into an Isa Neder. As long as you formulate it P Miladaber, P Milishtos. Marie Besson wants to take that and apply it to the case of Nazir. That the Nazir is not enjoining himself as a Gavra, as a personality, but rather he is enjoining every single part of his body from a certain pa'ula, but those parts of the body become Chefza, and therefore it's an Isur Chefza.
There is enough community between Peledaber and Nazir. Peledaber, the deal was only linked to his mouth. It comes to lechol lishtois. It's a gross grain. It is gross. May of disguise the peh.
More than just the peh, right? Well, I thought you were going to say something different. That he never mentioned his peh. He says I'm raising nausea. So how do you analyze Hareini Nazir? Is Hareini Nazir as a Gavra? I'm uplifting myself, like I said, in the name of the Ibn Ezra, I'm wearing a Nazir al Rosho. Or not? Hareini Nazir means my hands, my legs, and each one separate for that particular pa'ula. I never in the wildest dreams would have come up with such a definition, but that's what the Marie Besson is saying. Now, if you have page 2, take a look at this paragraph here from the Encyclopedia Talmudit, and he says the following. He says, do you see where it has number 49, correct?
Yes.
So if you see 48, they have to write the next sentence, Yesh Omrim, that starts 49. He says, Yesh Omrim, and this is a reference to the Ritva, She Isurei Torah, Hem Isurei Gavra. Umisha Oser Olav Es Hanevela Ben Neder, Chal HaNeder. Wow. This is unbelievable. According to the Ritva, see, the Sukkot Shabbat didn't spill the beans. As to what's the nafkamina of the Ritva, look how revolutionary of a chiddush. In Hebrew we'd say marchik lechet is the Ritva. The Ritva is saying that if I take a piece of nevela and I look at that nevela and I say hareza asar alai beneder, then that nevela becomes not only a nevela but also a neder. So if Chas V'Shalom, he eats the nevela, then he violates two separate lavim. First of all, he violates the general lavim nevela, and then he violates the lavim of neder. And his proof is because a neder is chal on a shvua. And what does that mean? A neder is chal on a shvua. You took a shvua that you won't eat this piece of bread, and then you took a neder that this piece of bread is asur alecha b'neder. And if he eats the kikar, he violates both the neder and the shvua. Lefisha benevela eina iser chal al achefetz. Right? Eina iser chal al achefetz. You want to underline those words. Ke uksha asra beneder chal alav iser hachefetz. So the entire nature of the iser nevela is an iser gavra, unless I asser it on myself as a neder. And now the neder adds an iser chefetz on top of the iser gavra. And the nafkamina is he'll be chayv two sets of malchus now, according to the Ritva. One set of malchus for nevela, and an additional set of malchus for lo yachel dvaro. Pretty wild, no? And therefore the Ritva goes on to say, mitam zeh, ein ha neder chal. Kishematvis bedavra asur. So if I have a loaf of bread and a piece of nevela, and I turn and I say, this bread should be like this piece of nevela, the neder is not chal, because the nevela itself is not asur. So Rabbanu Shalom, I don't understand one thing. What does it mean when we say that macholas asuris mitamtamos haleiv? As I said, the Gemara in Chulin says that even the donkey of Pinchas Ben Yair wouldn't eat something that was asur. So why is it mitamtim is halev? If there's nothing inherently wrong with the nevela, the Ritva is going to have to agree that something is fishy with this nevela. You know? I shouldn't use the word fishy, maybe. Something is meaty in this nevela. And therefore, a Jew who's on a higher level, he would be pogam in his nefesh if he ate this nevela. He says, "Lefisha chazir nevela ein gufam asur iser chefta, el ha'adam asur li'ochlam." See, this I would say is not—he's not saying anything metaphysical here. He's saying something legal. That in legal terms, the Torah never created an iser and transformed the nature or the identity of the object. The iser is all on the gavra, la'adam asur li'ochlam. Herb, you should be very happy with this Ritva. Because your argument was before, if I understood you correctly, that basically everything is an Issa Gavra. There's no such thing as an Issa Hefta. Okay, we saw in the Sukkot Shabbat there's one Issa Hefta. What's that? A Karban. A Karban has Kedusha. A Truma has Kedusha. That, I grant you, is an Issa Hefta. So I was just thinking now that if you would argue that everything is an Issa Gavra, or at least if you'll be moded that Yom Kippur is an Issa Gavra, then turn to this page over here that looks like this. It should say on the top, V'dovev Meisharet. You have such a page?
No.
Here, take a copy. It should be on the back of a Gemara in Yuma. Okay. I thought I gave this out, but I guess I didn't. Okay. On one side it say Yom HaKippurim, and on the other side it'll say Dovid Meshar. Okay? So the Baal, the author of the Dovid Meshar, was my father, Zichron Levracha. He has what he considers to be a stira, a contradiction in the Beit Yosef. Now today is the yard site of the Maran Harabi Ovadi Yosef. And the Sfaradim call him Maran, but the real Maran is Rav Yosef Karo. You know, so two Marans here, they're both names Yosef. Right. So he says the following. There's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid about someone who eats macholos asuros. Does he make a bracha or does he not make a bracha? So the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, which is on the top right of your page, says that im ochal develos the treifus, etc., etc., then for sure he doesn't make a bracha. And the Ravid says that's a terrible mistake, and he's got to make a bracha, because if he doesn't make a bracha, then he's in violation of an additional iser. Yeah. And then Afkamid will be a chola, because a chola has to eat nevelos and treifus. The Rambam will not allow him to make a bracha, and the Ravid would insist that he do make a bracha. Now, what happens in the case of a chola on Yom Kippur? Does he make the bracha or does he not make the bracha? So it's very odd. The Beis Yosef accepts the Rambam shita, and that you'll see on the bottom right column. He says, "Ochal dvar iser ein mezamnin ol vein mevarchim ol lo b'tchila v'lo b'sof." So the Shulchan Aruch, the Maran HaMachaber, embraces the sheet of the Rambam. And yet, when it comes to Yom Kippur, which is the previous quote, about two-thirds down your page, he says, "Afal pishim idivrei har rashba b'tshuva nira d'midavi l'liochel tevel u'ledas haramim ein mevarchim ol." He says, "Kvar nechlak hu harash bazal olav v'hiskim l'das ha'omrim do'ochel tevel nami mevarchin olav." So there's something fascinating going on. At this point, the Beis Yosef says that we can justify a bracha on food on Yom Kippur by a chole. And how do we justify that? After all, it should be the same as eating tevel, and we paskin like the Rambam. The answer is the Rashba disagrees with the Rambam.
If he's eating pachas mishir, for example, and you make a bracha beforehand, and you're not making a ayva.
Right, that's a good point. So let's hold on to that for a minute, O'Neill, because that's a little bit more sophisticated. I wanted to project something a little bit simpler. So let's just see. What is the stira? Let's just review and summarize the contradiction, l'chora, the apparent contradiction between two statements of the Beis Yosef. On the one hand, when it comes to chola b'yom HaKippurim, the Beis Yosef says we're going to rely on the Rashba shita, who disagrees with the Rambam, and he says that when you eat macholas asuros, then you make a bracha. That's the Rashba. And therefore the chola on Yom Kippur will make a bracha. Now, in the case of macholas asuros, we anticipate that the machaber should paskin like the Rashba, but you make a bracha. But he writes, "Avol dover asur" on the bottom, "Ein mevarchin alav, lo b'tchila lo b'sof." Meaning he's accepting the Shita of Rambam. On Yom Kippur, he accepts the Shita of the Rashba against the Rambam. And the whole year round, if he eats the Macholos Asuros, he accepts the Shita of the Rambam, then you don't make a bracha. So if you take a look on page Reish Chof Tes, which is the left side, he says, "Od Yesh Lomar, Dafilu Arambam Yodeh Bachilas Yom HaKippurim Sheyesh Levar." Maybe the Rambam, who says you don't make a bracha on Macholos Asuros, would agree in the case of Yom Kippur. Who can write the rest of this paragraph without even reading it? Daniel, can you do it? Why does the Rambam say you don't make a bracha on the veils and treifas?
It's
a chefza, but Yom Kippur, he's a gabra, so there's nothing wrong with the machal, so you make a bracha on this machal. Yesh l'chali ben achilas etzem dover ha'asur b'mokum sakono l'ben achilu b'yom ha'kipurim. Al pima shekosav Rabbi Kiva Eger Yoredeya Simon Reish Tes Vav She Isra Achil B'Yom HaKippurim Eino Isra Cheftza Shamachol V'Yatzmusam Lo Chal Aleim Shum Isra B'Yom HaKippurim El Ha'adam Hu Shetzarach L'Sanos Bo B'Yom. He has to fast and enjoin himself from Achila on this day. L'chein Avi Isra Gavra V'lachein Kosev Rabbi Kiveger Yochul Gam Isra Neder Al Machol. Fascinating. Let's say a person took a neder on Yom Kippur regarding a certain piece of bread. Would the neder be chal? Normally you can't repeat that which is already mushba biyomi mar Sinai. But the answer is that neder is chal for the cheftza, even if the gavra is also. So Rabbi Kiveger says that if on Yom Kippur he takes a neder, the neder is chal on top of Yom Kippur. And we don't apply the principle of ein isa chal isa because one isa is an isa on the gavra and the other isa is an isa on the cheftza. It's like what we said before, that if he takes a shvua that he won't eat this kikar, and then he takes a neder that this kikar is also, he violates both the neder and the shvua. One adds an isa cheftza on top of the isa gavra. Is al pi Rabbi Kivegi Yeshlomer, the afaramam shall osel levarach al achilas tevel, because it's a cheftza the isa, Yode, he'll admit, Sheesh Levarach al Achila B'Yom HaKippurim Sharei Ein Berchos HaChal al Cheftza Disura. His bracha is not being chal on a Cheftza Disura. Horaya Rabbi Kivegi says you can take a neder on Yom HaKippurim and it'll be chal because the neder is an Isa Cheftza, whereas Yom HaKippurim is only an Isa Gavra. And the truth is that now if I was writing this book I would add a footnote Ayin Shuvas Avnei Nezer, because that was the whole point of the Avnei Nezer, that Yom Kippur is an Isur Gavra, and that's why according to the Sukkot Tshuva, the Kosev, the one who wrote him the Tshuva, the Shoel, I guess you could call him, was mistaken. The Shoel wanted to say that the Cheftza the Isur of Yom Kippur was only Chal on Yom Kippur, and therefore we apply the principle of Ein Isur Chal Isur. So for example, according to the Shoel, if you had Arla, and you ate the Arla on Yom Kippur, you'd only be violating the Isur Arla, you would not be violating the Isur Yom Kippur because Ein Isur Chal Isur. Comes along the Sukkot Tshuva says, then, since Yom HaKippurim is an Isur Gavra, the Isur Gavra is Chal the whole year round vis-a-vis Yom HaKippurim. And therefore, the Isur is not something that emerges on Yom Kippur. And that position, I think, would support the Dovei Mishorim to faren for the stira, to reconcile the two contradictory statements of the basis.
Yeah, Baal Bosch would give a different answer.
Yeah?
Baal Bosch would answer the stira in the Rambam, because by eating Yom Kippur, whole reason for brachas is Aslan Shian and Baal Mazeb and Bracha. Yom Kippur, when he's eating it because he has to, because he's a chola, he's mahana for the food. So he makes a bracha. Macholos Asuras, we just said, is Matamtim Zalev. So even if he supposedly has Anoah, he's not having Anoah, because it's Asur.
So in the case of Macholos Asuras, the Rambam would say he can't make a bracha because the bracha is for the Anoah. And there is no Anoah from Macholos
Asuras.
In the case of Yom Kippur, I'd rather the Choli itself
is having Anoah.
No, but one second. Let me ask you this, sir. Let's see if the Baal Batish Teretz will work. If it works, then you don't need my loveness. What would the Rambam say? I mean, I know the answer to this question. This is just a rhetorical question. What would the Rambam say if you were a chole and you were eating teva or the velus atreifus? Rambam says you don't make a bracha. Now, according to your logic, Herb, I think he should be making a bracha. Why?
Does he paskin that?
Yeah, the Rambam is mefurish.
House chole.
And the chole does not make a bracha. Macholas asuris. Now, in the case of macholas asuris, you're going to tell me he's not allowed to have hanor from it, but on the contrary, the Torah says v'chaimah, he has to save his life. So that's the greatest hanor that you can have. I just wanted to show you, again, I don't know if we're going to finish this today, but at least I want to get our skull, and then I'll let you go in about 2 minutes. There's a very fascinating tosis here in Yuma, and it's really, it should be Ayin Vav Amid Beis. It was just printed off the daf, so it's printed on Ayin Zayin. Omen Aleph, which is okay for me because I like those two letters, Ayin Zayin. Okay. Now, what's the subject of this Tosus? This is Sicha. The Gemara derives Sicha on Yom Kippur from a Pasuk. Vatovo Mayim Bekirbo and that teaches me Sicha Kishtir, because that pasuk is talking about Sicha, about anointing, and yet the Torah compares it to Mayim Bekirbo, to Shtir. So this is the famous principle that you've all heard of, called Sicha Kishtir. But I have a big finish on this for my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik that I want to share with you. Rabbeinu Tam says something that's way out. Rabbeinu Tam says that Sicha Kishtir is only Durabonon. And this is against sugyas all over the place. For example, if a zar, a non-kohen, takes shemen shel truma and he uses it for sicha, he's chayv misa midei shamayim, because sicha kishtir. No, it's not only does the Gemara here in Yuma, and that's where Rabbeinu Tam attaches his comment, say that we derive sicha kishtir from a pasuk. It's more than that. We know that sicha kishtir is doraisa. There's no way under the heavens that Rabbeinu Tam can maintain that sicha kishtir is derabbanan. So what does he mean? And if you take a look, he says, "Upirsha ben Tam, the Chol Ha'inuim Shal Yom Kippurim, Lesnu Ela Midrabbanon, Ukroi, and all the Tzukim that the Gemara invokes to derive the five Inuim, Asmach to be Alma."
Right.
Or I shouldn't say five. Let's say four. Labar Me'Achilu Shasiya, because Achilu Shasiya, nobody can deny. And has Rabbeinu Tam prove that all the Inuyim are only Drabbanan? I spoke about this on Leil Yom Kippur not long ago, because there's so many Aterim that apply to the Inuyim. Hayat Meluchot Betit, and he's allowed to be Rochets Kedarko, he's Meluchot Betsoas, Rochets Kedarko, and Achaya. You know, first thing, what did he say? I didn't hear
him. Akala as well, you might
know. Akala, correct. Akala 30 days, and a Melech. You know, Melchizedek, all these coolers we find in Rechitza, it must be that we're dealing with a Durabbana. And now Rabbeinu Tam invokes a Sugya Krisus as a support text. What is the Sugya Krisus? This is fascinating. Imagine a Kohen whose grandson is a Yisrael. Can you figure that one out?
Yes.
Because his daughter married Yisrael. So his grandson is Yisrael. Oh. So now what happens? The Gemara Krisus has this case that the Kohen takes the truma and he smears it on his body. He does sicha. That's the mitzvah of Shevet Shel Truma. Now he invites his grandson, and his grandson rubs his arm against his grandfather's arm, and he sach b'shevin shel truma. And the Gemara says it's okay, it's allowed. Says Rabbeinu Tam, you see that sicha kishtir is only derabbanan. Let's read it inside, and then I'll let you go. He says the following: the Omar, where is it? I lost the place. Just one second. Ubemesech the krisus kuper kamedav zayin amrina kohen shesach shevin shel truma. Right, so he was sach b'shevin shel truma. The kohen, this is the zayda, is ben bito, his grandson through his daughter Yisrael, who's Yisrael because she married Yisrael, misagelbo, which literally means he like wallows. He rubs himself onto it. V'eino choshesh. Zok Rabbeinu Tam, v'i havi isu doraisa, v'sicha u'shtia doraisa. Can you imagine if the Zayda drank something and then he gave his grandson to drink and it's truma? That's a chiv misa v'dei shamayim. I havi doraisa, you osu b'chol inyan. Ela, al-kork, we have to conclude, mirabana. Okay then. So again, Rabbos, I want you to think about this. I'm going to say over Bli Neder on Sunday, I guess, the next time we meet, because we didn't get a quorum yet for Thursday. So that I'm going to say over a chiddush from my Rebbe that's going to revolutionize this Rabbeinu Tam, a whole new shot in Rabbeinu Tam, all based on Gavra and Cheftz. Okay then? So I wish you a great week. But it's much more complicated than that. It's beautiful. So hang in there for that. And then Bli Neder, we'll talk about other different Isurim. I want to talk to you about Dmai, whether Dmai is an Isur Gavra and Isur Heftel.
I have to speak at my great grandson's pidyon on Thursday morning.
Wow. Is this your first great grandson?
No.